الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الإنسان، ما غرك بربك الكريم؟ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Among the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one very special name is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ash-Shakur. Ash-Shakur refers to that being who rewards the servants for their good deeds, giving them far more than what they deserve. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has one name, Ash-Shukur, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who recognizes and appreciates all the good, no matter how minute or intangible it is. Even the good intention that is never carried out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes and is most appreciative of it. And Allah ta'ala rewards the believing servants for every single good deed that they do, and rewards them in such a way that the reward far exceeds than what they actually deserve from Allah Ta'ala. This is called Ash-Shukur. If you look at our deen, there are so many examples which show to us that Allah Ta'ala is the most appreciative of even the smallest act that we do. The smallest of the deeds that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates it immensely and incredibly. So for example, when someone goes through some difficulty, so before we have good times, normally the procedure is there are bad times before that. Bad times are followed by good times. But Allah says in Quran, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا Inna ma'al usri yusra. Allah Ta'ala repeats this phrase. What's the meaning of this? That after every difficulty, there is ease. After every difficulty, there is ease. The meaning is that after every one single difficulty, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give us two eases. This is how appreciative Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is. That when a person goes through some difficulty, one difficulty, in response Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him ease, but not one ease, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doubles it. Then, when we look at our own actions, this is actually something related to love and what we did last time with the sifat of Rahman and Rahim. The way you can understand this is in any relationship of love, when you have a lover and a beloved. So the lover, he wants to give everything that he has to his beloved. And when he gives everything to his beloved, after giving so much, he thinks that I could have given more. And on the other hand, if he receives anything very small from his beloved, something small, trivial, insignificant, he values it a lot, he appreciates a lot. Why? Because it's coming from his beloved. Now if you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so many blessings to us. This is part of his sifat of Rahman and Rahim, that Allah is merciful and mercy giving. Allah has given us everything in this world. And after giving all of this dunya, Allah says, Kul mata'u dunya kaleel. That the dunya, the world that you have, which I've given to you, this is very kaleel, it's very small. and the real reward you will get in Akhirah in Jannah. So Rahman and Rahim, from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all these blessings that we have. And then whatever small act of goodness that we do, neki, ibadah, zikr, remembrance of Allah, we are deficient, our zikr is deficient, our remembrance is deficient, our ibadat are deficient and faulty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values and appreciates that ibadah, that zikr so much, that Allah says in Quran, وَذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, that my male believers who remember me abundantly, and the female believers who remember me abundantly. Yani our little ibadah, little zikr, little remembrance that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values it, appreciates it so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word kaseer for that. Why? Because Allah has love for His servants. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the smallest of deeds that we do, because Allah has love for us, Allah is most appreciative of it. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهَا, that if you were to do even an atom's worth, a zarra worth, an atom's worth of good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record it for you, and Allah will reward you for that good deed in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So any good deed we do, Allah ta'ala has given us the golden principle in the Quran, that whatever good amal you do, whether you're a man or a woman, la udiyu amala amile minkum min zakarina unsa, that we will not waste away the good deeds of any person, man or a woman. Now, if you apply this principle in our dunya, we see that how far we are from this principle. We don't appreciate, normally we are not appreciative of faulty things, of deficient things. So if you work at an office and you provide a letter to one of your boss, and sometimes it happens the boss asks you to type a letter, and let's say you give that letter to that person gives the letter to his boss. There's some spelling mistakes, some E's are missing, some A's are missing. There's no proofreading, spell check hasn't been done. And you will say, let's take this back and correct all these mistakes and then bring it back to me. So that page is torn, thrown away. And this keeps on happening. You have multiple iterations until that work is perfect. And then that person, that boss or that employer, he will accept it, or the ruler will accept it. But look at the shan, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when any servant, he does any amal, any action, and there's some mistake in that amal. If Allah wanted, Allah could have returned it and said, no, this is not good enough. There is a mistake here, first rectify that mistake. I'm not going to accept this salah. If that was the case, it would be very difficult. But rather what happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I won't waste your amal away. For example, you miss your ruku, or you miss something in your salah, which was not a wajib or a farz. Then you simply have to perform sajda sahav at the end, and I will accept your salah. You just perform sajda at the end, the sajda for forgetfulness, and I will forgive your ghafla, your heedlessness, your forgetfulness. I will overlook all of that deficiency, and I'm going to accept your ibadah as it is. I won't waste it away. Subhanallah. So if you make any slip in your salah, now you don't need to pray your salah again. Sharia says that if you can pray sajda, you can do sajda sahaf, then you can save your salah. Allah will accept it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur. Allah is most appreciative. Then if you're fasting, and let's say accidentally you ate something, or you drank something. Now technically your fast is broken. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said to you, now make up your fast again. But no, subhanallah, Allah says that if you eat something accidentally, unintentionally, then that will not break your fast. I will still accept your fast. Continue fasting. Because in my sight, you're still a person who is fasting. Allahu Akbar. Then sometimes there's so many examples of that in our deen. Just this month of Ramadan, we see that that person who is fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put creation. They are making dua and maghfirah for that individual. That's the level of appreciation that you are fasting for my sake. You took out time to fast for some time during the day for my raza, for my pleasure. Allah becomes so happy that He puts other makhluk, other creation, that they would be making dua and forgiveness for you. Any the fishes in the sky, they're making dua and maghfirah for the fasting person. And imagine the fish, which we don't even know that fish. Who is that fish? Or the ants in the ground, or the birds in the sky. We have no taluk with those creatures. We don't even know who they are. And subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is ashakur, they're making dua and maghfirah for me and you. Why? Because we are fasting. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does qadr. Allah does qadr. Allah loves these amal that we are doing for the sake of Allah. And if you want to look at some of the examples of how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then we should look at the Quran. In Quran, one after another, several stories, we learn this principle that the smallest of act, the smallest of sacrifices that a person makes, sometimes big, sometimes small, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values that sacrifice and rewards that person immensely, much, much more than what they do for Allah. So for example, there is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, who used to be engaged in a lot of ibadah. And then he was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that he became sick and very sick. And in that sickness, he lost his family. Plus on top of that, he also lost his plantation, the crops, his house. Everything was finished. All the blessings that he had was finished, including the blessing of health. And this whole story is mentioned in the Quran, that he remained almost paralyzed for a long period of time. And this paralysis was so intense and severe that nothing could move except for his tongue. And Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, once he made dua, that Allah, at least allow me to move my tongue and keep my tongue salim so that I can use this tongue to make remembrance, to make zikr of you. So when this test happened, Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he had sabr, patience. And then after the azmaish, the trial finished, then he went back to work. And then when he went back to work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this patience of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam so much. Allah appreciated this so much, was so appreciative of this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first did tarif, praise Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam in Quran. And such a beautiful words that inna wajadnahu sabira ni'mal abd innahu awwab. Three things: that we found him to be a patient, sabira, ni'mal abd. He was such an excellent servant, such an amazing servant. That's how you would say that. And innahu awwab, that he was also returning back to me, doing rujoo to me. And Allah Ta'ala made this ayah part of his own Quran declaration announcement till the end of time. Whoever will read Quran, even in Jannah, when we will read Quran, we will be listening to the tarif, the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah praising Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So that affliction was temporary, for some temporary X number of years. But the inam, the blessing, the reward that he got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be eternal. It's going to be perpetual, baki forever, even in Jannah. And the second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is that Allah gave him his health back. Allah Ta'ala gave him his house back, gave him all the baghat, the plantations, all of that came back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him family, spouse and children. And whatever Allah Ta'ala had taken away as a test and a trial, Allah out of his rahmah gave all of that back and much more. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمَثَلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave whatever he had plus more, plus doubled it. So this is why is this so? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most appreciative. Normally our situation is that when we test someone and the other person, he is not able to pass the test, or even if he passed the test, so we don't appreciate that person's him. Then, if you look at the second story, which is a story of Hazrat Asiya alayhi salam, also mentioned in the Quran, she was the wife of Fir'aun. And there was it's a long story, but Hazrat Asiya alayhi salam was a hairdresser. And the hairdresser first, she accepted Islam and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And when she accepted Islam and Fir'aun found out, so Fir'aun gave her a very severe, a very intense punishment. And at that time, Hazrat Asiya alayhi salam, she was watching. And Fir'aun said to her, the look that she did not believe in me, and I've given her the punishment that she deserves. Hazrat Asiya alayhi salam, she turned away from Fir'aun and said that what you did was evil. And at that time, then Fir'aun asked her that, have you also brought Iman on Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's Rabb? And she said that, yes, I also believe in the Rabb of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Fir'aun became even more furious and said that, you know, I'll give you even a greater and more intense punishment. And she said that, Fakhz Iman takazin, do whatever you want to do. And then all of you know that Fir'aun, he gave her a very intense punishment. He put holes in her hands so that she could not move. And then in that way, she lost her life. And a very torturous, a very painful way. He did not kill her directly. He told people to take off her skin and she bled to death. A very intense and a very painful way to go. What is interesting about this story is that in the last moments of her life, she turned to Allah Ta'ala and made a dua. And that dua is mentioned in the Quran. That Rabb ibni li indak baytan fil jannah. That, oh my Rabb, grant me a house in Jannah near you. So this was the dua, that Allah, grant me, Fir'aun has thrown me out of his house. I don't need the house of Fir'aun. I don't need the companionship of Fir'aun. Allah, I ask from you in this last moment that Allah in Jannah, please grant me a house next to you. And after that, she passed away. She was martyred. Now look at how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Nabi salatu wasalam, when he went for Miraj with Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, as the Prophet was going, they passed by some valley. And in that valley, there was an intense fragrance that was there. And it was emanating from that valley. So the Prophet asked Angel Jibreel alayhi salam that, where is this fragrance coming from? Why is this fragrance coming? And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said that, Ya Rasulullah, in this valley, there is the grave of a woman who was the hairdresser of the wife of Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made her grave one of the gardens of Jannah. And this is the fragrance that is coming, that is emanating from her grave. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated the sacrifice she made for the sake of Allah. And second, Sayyidina Asiya alayhi salam, she made dua to Allah Ta'ala that, Allah, grant me a house near you in Jannah. When Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala an was the first wife of the Prophet sallam, when she was about to leave this world, so the Prophet sallam said to her that, Khadija, when you pass away, you will go to Jannah. And when you enter into Jannah, I ask you to please convey my salam to my wives in Jannah. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she heard this, she was a bit surprised. She asked that, Ya Rasulullah, I am your first wife here in this dunya, in your world, in this world. So who are those people whom I'm supposed to say salam to in Jannah? And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied that the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, and the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam, they both of them have reached Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me that they will be my wives in Jannah. So I ask you to convey my salam to them. So subhanallah, look at how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That the Asiya alayhi salam is making dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah grant me a house in Jannah near you. If Allah ta'ala gave her a house in Jannah, that would be in the acceptance, that would have been the kubuli of that dua. That would have been sufficient enough. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her a house and gave her the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made her the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was from being the wife of Fir'aun, she went on to become the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most appreciative of the sacrifices that a person does for his sake. Allah ta'ala gives you much, much more than what you deserve. Even the smallest act that you do for the sake of Allah, Allah rewards it immensely and incredibly, according to his own shan. Then we look at the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, also mentioned in the Quran, that when he was building the Baytullah, and he made dua to Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna, O Allah, accept this. And after, you know, he was also tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had to sacrifice his son. Very big sacrifice. And he passed that test also. So when he passed that test, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Qubuliya. The Qubuliya of subhanallah, if you look at the tarif, the praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the praiseworthy words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, it's incredible. Right? So all over the Quran you see, subhanallah, how much Allah ta'ala praises Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. That we have made you imam of all of humanity. Yani Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made dua that waja'alna lil muttaqina imama. Oh Allah, make me imam of the muttaqin, of the pious. Make me the leader of the pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua, made him an imam not just of the pious, but imamun nas. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. You're the imam, you're the leader of all the people. And subhanAllah, today also you see that the three big religions, the great religions, Judaism, Christianity and Islam, all three of them, the adherents of all three religions, they view Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to be a mu'azziz and honorable personality in their deen. And the place where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed to Allah ta'ala, Allah made that musalla. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. That we take that place of Maqam Ibrahim as a musalla, as a place of worship. Allah loved those qadam, those footsteps so much. Subhanallah. This is called Allah Ta'ala being Ash-Shakur. This is the sifat, the attribute, how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Then again, look at the wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Bibi Hajra, Amma Hajra alayhi salam, and when she was tested by Allah, and there was no water, she was left there with her son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, in a valley, biwadin ghayri zi zarin. There was nothing, no vegetation, no water. And this was an imtihan. And she only asked Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that are you leaving me here because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam nodded his head and said yes. And so she understood this is a test from Allah, and that Allah will not waste me away. And then all of you know that she ran from Safa to Marwa, from Marwa to Safa 7 times. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the path of Zamzam. And Zamzam started to flow. And now look at the Qubuliya, that the running or the walking between Safa and Marwa 7 times, that amal, that action became so maqbool in the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that the sunnah of the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. In fact, even the Prophet himself was told, like was commanded, that, oh my beloved, when you have to perform Hajj or Umrah, you will have to rekindle and revive the sunnah of Bibi Hajra alayhi salam. Why? Because she was one of my maqbool servants. Allah valued that sacrifice, those footsteps so much, the footsteps of a woman, that the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all Nabi, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being told and being commanded that you also have to place your footsteps. You have to follow in the footsteps of Bibi Hajar Amma Hajar alayhi salatu wa sallam, and every single one of your ummati, when they go for Hajar Umrah, they also have to revive the sunnah
of Amma Hajar alayhi salatu wassalam. Then we come to the time of the Sahaba Ikram, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Once he was returning back, and this was when the Prophet had passed away. He was returning back from Makkah Mukarma to Madinah Tayyibah. It was night time and they pitched a camp and they were resting. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he looked at the sky above. It was a 14th moon, lunar, 14th of the lunar month, which meant it was a full moon. And when he saw the full moon, invariably he thought about Sayyidina Rasulullah, the moon of Madinah Munawwara. And at that time he felt it was a cool breeze that was flowing. He felt maybe this is a kubuliyat dua, an opportunity to make dua. And at that time he raised his hands and he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. A deep heartfelt dua that Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik. First that, oh Allah, I ask you for shahada on your path. وَجَعَلْ قَبَرِي فِي بَلَدِ حَبِيبِكَ And I ask you to make my grave, my qabr, in the city of your beloved, yani in the city of Madinah Munawwara. So khair, he made this dua. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, he could have attained shahada any place he wanted. No, he could have gotten shahada any place. On the battlefield, in any city, outside of Madinah Munawwara, on the tip of some mountain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so appreciative that Allah ta'ala fulfilled his desire, fulfilled his dua, and Allah ta'ala gave him shahada in such a state that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was in a state of wudu, number one. Number two, he was standing on the musalla of the Prophet in Masjid al-Nabi. And number three, he was doing tilawat of Quran. In such a state of qurb and closeness to Allah ta'ala, that is how Allah Ta'ala gave him shahada. He got that zakham, that wound because of which he passed away. And then the second dua that he made to Allah, to grant me, make my qabr in the city of Madinah Munawwara, in the city of your beloved. Now if he was buried in Jannatul Baqi, the dua would have been accepted. But Allah Ta'ala is so ashakur, he's so appreciative, he's most appreciative, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his qabr where? In Riyazul Jannah, in the hujra, in the blessed hujra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best of place. Subhanallah. There is a Sahabi, a young Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Abdullah Zulbajadain radiallahu ta'ala an. He was very beautiful, handsome. And once he came with his friends, met the Prophet and recited the kalama and became a Muslim. His father had passed away, so he would live with his chacha, his uncle, and his mother, other relatives. So he thought that at this point, I should not manifest my Islam before my relatives. So he hid his iman. But iman is not something which you can hide forever. Right? Just like love is not something which you can hide forever. Iman is also love for Allah. You cannot hide this forever. When you have love for Allah, ishq for Allah, then it makes itself obvious. So a few days passed by and the family members of Hazrat Abdullah, they asked him that it seems that you have recited the kalma, it seems that you have become a Muslim. And when they asked him a point blank question that have you recited and have you converted, he said yes. He couldn't hide it at that point. So then the uncle, he said that look, you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. Either if you want to stay in this house, then you have to return back to our deen. And if you want to stay on your deen, the new deen, then you have to leave this house. So Hazrat Abdullah, he said that I'm willing to leave my house, but I can't leave Iman now. I cannot go back to Kufr, to unbelief. So he said that, okay, fine, you'll have to leave the house then. And okay, he said that, fine, I'm going to leave. But as he was leaving, the uncle became so angry at him. He said that, give us whatever possession you have, all the clothes, all your possessions, whatever we gave you, we spent on you, we want every single thing back. And Bazahiran, he belonged from a very wealthy, well-off family. used to wear the finest of clothing, live in the finest of places, and every single thing was taken back. Even the clothes that he was wearing, he was forced to take them off. And he was thrown out in that halat, in that state. And the mother, when she saw, she couldn't say anything in front of the uncle. She, however, because of that motherly love, she said that, you know, just take my chadar and at least hide your satar. So he took that chadar and cut that into two pieces. One he used for the upper garment and one for the lower garment. And that's why he came to be known as Zul Bajadain, the person with the two garments, with the two chadars. Then he thought that, where should I go? He was thrown out of his house. So he felt that the reason why I've been thrown from my house, I should go to that, the Prophet ﷺ. He went straight to the Prophet ﷺ. He reached Madina Tayyiba, and from far away, the Prophet ﷺ saw him, and the Prophet ﷺ honored him, did ikram of him. And then he came and he explained his situation. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, don't worry, you can live here in Masjid al-Nabi with the Ashab-e-Sufa. And that is where he started living. And he had so much muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala that sometimes in his muhabbah, he would start saying the name of Allah, 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 the zikr of Allah. And once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard this and he said that, Abdullah, you should not say this word so loudly. And the Prophet ﷺ, he heard this, he said that, don't say anything to Abdullah, because whatever he does it with sincerity. Now look at the kardadani, look at how Allah Ta'ala appreciates the sacrifice, the manifestation of ash-shakur. Once the Prophet ﷺ was coming back from an expedition, Hazrat Abdullah was also with him, and he became sick on this journey. When the Prophet ﷺ found out that he is sick, he, along with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they went and they met Abdullah. They did what you call paid a sick visit, iyadat-e-mariz. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he visited, he realized that this is the last stage of his life. And in a riwayat, it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, he placed the head of Abdullah in his own lap and started caressing his forehead. Subhanallah, Hazrat Abdullah was that fortunate Sahabi who passed away in such a stage, in such a state, that his eyes were fixed at the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ. He was looking at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and in that state, he passed away from this world. When he passed away, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he told all the Sahaba that they should make arrangement for kafan, for dafan. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave his own chadar to shroud him. And the chadar of the Prophet ﷺ became the kafan of Hazrat Abdullah. And then, you know, imagine this was that Sahabi who had to leave his house without any clothing. Look at the qadr, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates that sacrifice, that now he's being wrapped up in the cloak of the Prophet ﷺ. That becomes his kafan. Allahu Akbar. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed his salat janaza, and the Prophet ﷺ himself, he dug the grave. Now the hukum of the Shariat is that when you want to place the deceased inside the grave, the person who's closest to the deceased, they should go inside the grave and take the body and then place it inside. Now, Hazrat Abdullah had no one. He had left all of his family, relatives, everyone for the sake of deen, for the sake of Allah. And there were many other Sahaba Ikram who were present at that time who could have gone inside the grave, but no. The Prophet ﷺ said that, I'm the closest to Hazrat Abdullah. And the Prophet ﷺ himself went inside the grave and he took Abdullah in his own hands and then placed him inside that grave. And at that time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was watching this. He made dua, you know, he felt, his emotion was that, I wish that instead of Abdullah, Umar was in the hands of the Prophet ﷺ. So subhanAllah, all of us, so many people, they're buried. But to be buried in such a way where the Prophet ﷺ is placing you inside the grave and the Prophet ﷺ is there with you inside the grave, this is Allah Ta'ala, the manifestation of Allah Ta'ala being Ash-Shakur. Allah Ta'ala is most appreciative of any amal that we do for His sake. And at that point, then the Prophet ﷺ, he also made dua that, oh Allah, I am pleased with Abdullah. Allah, you also become pleased with him. This was the parting dua. So we can, there are so many stories, but the point is that, the main point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most appreciative. And Allah ta'ala is that being who rewards the believing servants for their good deeds, giving them far, far, far more than what they deserve. Allah ta'ala recognizes and appreciates all the good that a person does, whether it's the smallest of actions, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values it. Allah does qadr of it. Allah honors it. Allah esteems it. Allah rewards it. Just take a very simple example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the wealth that we have. And then when Allah ta'ala asks us to spend on the path of Allah, it's Allah's wealth. It's Allah's wealth. It's Allah's, you know, Allah has given this to us. And then whatever we spend in the cause of Allah, that's also, it just makes sense because it's given to us in the first place by Allah. But then when we spend anything in the cause of Allah, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about that in the Quran? Allah says that these people, yukridullah karzan hasana. They're giving a goodly loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a loan. Technically, it's not a loan because the wealth was coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values it so much, does qadr of it so much, Allah appreciates it so much. Allah says that you're actually giving me a loan. I'm going to give you much more in return later on. I'm going to multiply this loan for you, multiply the reward for you 10 times or 70 times or even 700 times. Or even if you have more ikhlas, then multiple times. If you have more sabr, then bighayr hisab. So subhanAllah, the money is Allah. The money is coming from Allah. We're only spending fraction of that amount in the cause of Allah. Allah says, I'm going to give you a reward for that and reward also multiple times. Bighayr hisab, bighayr kitab. So we should try to understand this sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And I want to, and there's another thing about this sifat. Like I said, that even the smallest of actions are appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of our scholars have written that on the Qiyamah, there will be many people who will think that maybe our big actions will be rewarded by Allah. And because of those big actions, we will become recipients of Jannah. Yani their gaze will be upon those big, big ibadah that they used to do. But rather, Allah Ta'ala will forgive them and will decree Jannat for them, not because of their big ibadat, but rather because of the smallest of actions that they used to do. Small actions which they even forgot that they had ever done it in their life. Allah will pick them, and because of them, Allah will decree Jannah for them. So for example, there was a very pious lady by the name of Zubaydah Khatun, who was the wife of Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid was a very pious king. And the wife, Zubaydah Khatun, she was Ashik-e-Quran, a lover of the Quran, and she had made her palace in such a way that every moment she would be able to listen to the recitation of Quran. Yani, you had different duties, you know, different people. Qurra used to come 6 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours. Throughout 24 hours, there used to be recitation of Quran in the palace of Zubaydah. And then when it was Hajj season, she realized that people coming from faraway regions, they don't have water, they're very thirsty. So we should make arrangement for water for the Hujjaj. And she dug a canal, a river, that's actually a Neher. And that Neher is actually still there. It's known as Neher-e-Zubaydah. And this was a river, or this was a canal which was dug so that this would be a source of benefit, the Skeen Itminan for the Hujjaj. They will be able to get the water freely and easily. Now imagine giving water to a dog can earn you maghfirah. Giving water to a thirsty cat can become a source of tawbah. Here, she dug a whole canal where animals are drinking, hayvanat are drinking, the birds are drinking, plus the hujjaj, the servants of Allah, these people, they're also drinking. Such a tremendous, incredible act of ibadah. When she passed away, someone saw her in a dream and asked her, Zubaydah, what happened to you? And she said that Allah Ta'ala showered his mercy upon me. So I said, you had to, you get such big actions and it befits you that you would have been showered by Allah Ta'ala's mercy because of those amal. She said that, no. I was forgiven not because of my recitation of the Quran or my love for the Quran. I was forgiven not because of this canal that I dug for the Hujjaj. These actions were not even presented at that time. These actions were those actions which I had the money. And that's why, I used that money. So it was no big deal. She said that actually I was forgiven for a small action that I had done, which I didn't even remember. And that was as follows, that at one time I was eating my food and I was about to put the morsel in my mouth. And then I heard the azan and the words of Allahu Akbar entered my ear. And I realized that my head covering wasn't covering my head completely and properly. So I put that morsel of food down on my plate and then I fixed my head covering my scarf. And then after listening to the azan, then I put that morsel back into my mouth. So this delay that I did in putting that morsel in my mouth, this was because of the adab of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the azmat of the name of Allah. And Allah ta'ala picked up this amal, and because of this amal, Allah ta'ala forgave all my sins, decreed Jannah for me. So Allah ta'ala is ash-shakur. Allah is that being who can pick even the smallest of our actions and make that an excuse for forgiving us. There was a person who was an idol worshipper. And one night he built this idol, and in a state of anxiety, he had this problem, some issues in his life. He was beseeching that idol, making dua to that idol. Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam. But of course, the idol was not responding. So at that time, he became sleepy. And in that state of sleepiness, he was very sleepy. In that state, he, instead of saying Ya Sanam, accidentally he said Ya Samad. Ya Samad, Ya Samad. Now, Samad is the name of Allah Ta'ala. When he said this, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat became attentive towards him. Allah Ta'ala said, Labbaik Ya Abdi, that I'm present. Hear my servant. When Allah Ta'ala said, Labbaik Ya Abdi, the angels, they became surprised. Said, Ya Allah, he is an idol worshipper. He created this idol. He is glorifying his idol. He is making dua to his idol. He's not even calling you. Accidentally, in that state of unconsciousness, he just accidentally took your name out from his tongue. And you are becoming attentive towards him. So Allah Ta'ala said that yes, even though he's an idol worshipper and he is making dua to his idol and his idol is not responding to him. But when he called upon me, even if it's accidental, then if I don't respond to his call, then what will be the difference between me and him? What will be the difference between me and that idol? So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is very appreciative. Allah Ta'ala is that being who's ash-shakur. There's a very famous story which is attributed to Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, that he was a very big, there was a muhaddis, and he passed away and he was forgiven. Someone asked him that, why were you forgiven? What was the amal? He said it was a very small amal, not because of my hadith and khidmat-e hadith and teaching hadith and writing hadith, none of that. That amal was not even presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I was forgiven prior to that on small action that I had done. Once when I was writing some hadith in my book, and back then they had to dip their pen inside this ink pot. So I put my pen inside the pot, and when I took it out, a fly came and sat on the tip of my pen and started drinking that ink. It was very thirsty. So I thought that this fly is thirsty, wants to drink, wants to quench its thirst. So I held my pen in mid-air for some time. I did not start writing, but I just allowed that fly to quench its thirst. And then after some time, that fly went away, and then I began writing. Allah Ta'ala loved this amal of mine so much that Allah Ta'ala said that you took care of the thirst of my fly. Now today I'm going to take care of your thirst and I'm going to give you Jannah. Now imagine, it's such a small deed. How many of us even think of such small actions? But in the court of Allah Ta'ala, every single good deed that we do will be written down, and Allah Ta'ala is most appreciative. Allah will reward every single good deed that we do in a way that befits His shan. Yani, if only we reflect that when we sin, and if you know, in the dunya, when a person sins, or there is some, you know, the crime, and even if that person is proved innocent, still the people in the court, the judge, they have the record that this person, a case was presented, and he was proved innocent. The records are maintained. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person, he is guilty, not innocent, he is guilty, completely 110,000% guilty. And he committed that sin, but then after that he made tawbah to Allah ta'ala, the act of tawbah completely wipes away every single record of that sin. It's wiped away from the book of deeds, wiped away from the memory of the angels who wrote down that sin, wiped away from the memory of the limbs through which you committed that sin, wiped away from the memory of that piece of land on which you committed that sin, any the complete record. It's wiped away from the memories of the angels, right? It's completely wiped away. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur. Allah ta'ala is most appreciative when a person turns to Him in tawbah. So one aspect of this attribute of Allah is that we realize and we understand that Allah Ta'ala is most appreciative of the smallest of good deeds that we do for His sake. And then the second aspect of this attribute is that we also become most appreciative towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is adorning ourselves with the akhlaq of Allah. That we also become most appreciative towards Allah, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given so many favors to us. We also begin to, right now, a lot of times we are neglecting those blessings of Allah. And sometimes we have made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a very neglected being in our life. Ash-shakur means that we turn back to Allah, we shed that neglect, we shed our ghafla, and we become attentive and appreciative of Allah's rahmah, of Allah's favors, of Allah's blessings. Look, Allah Ta'ala made us human beings. Allah Ta'ala could have made us a donkey or any other animal. Allah gave us deen, Allah gave us Islam. Allah Ta'ala made us from amongst the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Earlier, Anbiya al-Islam used to make du'as to be made part of this ummah. Allah Ta'ala gave us eyesight. If you didn't have this eyesight, we would have been blind. If you didn't have this speech, we would have been dumb. If Allah Ta'ala did not give us hearing, we would have been deaf. If Allah did not give us health, we would have been ill. If Allah did not give us food, we would be hungry. If Allah did not give us intelligence, we would be, you know, without intelligence. If Allah did not give us respect and izzah, we would have been disgraced and humiliated, embarrassed. Today, this life of izzat, respect, honor, sehat that we are leading, all of this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to become appreciative of Allah ta'ala. And how do we show appreciation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Three things. Then number one, we literally with our tongue, we appreciate Allah ta'ala for His favors. We do ikrar of Allah ta'ala. Allah, You have given me so much. Alhamdulillah. Shukr. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. That Allah, I don't deserve any of these things. Allah, I don't even deserve the month of Ramadan. Well, this is the biggest, one of the greatest blessings that You have given me. After the 300 years that have passed from last Ramadan, I don't deserve this Ramadan. I don't deserve the barakat and the rahmatin. But Ya Allah, you gave this to me, this incredible month, this incredible mercy, this incredible barakah. Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You pray, you say this with your tongue over and over again. And you say this for all the blessings that you have. You acknowledge, you become attentive, you appreciate that with your tongue. And that's why you look at the sunnah, for all the sunnah masnoon du'as, that's a very good way, by the way, to become people of shukr. That you learn the masnoon du'as and you use those du'as at the particular time, the proper time. You're eating, you thank Allah Ta'ala for this blessing. You're drinking, you thank Allah. You look at yourself in the mirror. You recite the masnoon du'a, you thank Allah Ta'ala for your looks. You leave the house, you thank Allah Ta'ala. You come back, you see your house, you thank Allah Ta'ala. You see your children, you thank Allah. To recite this word, Alhamdulillah, this should become part of our daily conversations. Multiple times, several times during the day, anything which happens according to our marzi, according to our will, according to our wish, we should thank Allah Ta'ala for that. We should be appreciative that Allah Ta'ala allowed those things to happen according to the way we liked it to happen. This is a favor of Allah. So Alhamdulillah, Zabani, Qawli Shukr of Allah. Then second is that we can show appreciation to Allah by leading a life of ita'at. And this is the real way of doing shukr. That we do things the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. We have ita'at and ibadat. And we stay away from those things which are displeasing, despicable in the sight of Allah. We stay away from sins. This is a practical way of showing that Allah, I'm most appreciative of all the favors that you have done to me. Allah, I will respond, I will reciprocate by becoming a person of ita'at, ibadat, by becoming a person of taqwa, by staying away as much as possible from sins. Those things which are disliked by you. So we have to become people of shukr. That's how we can adorn ourselves with this attribute of Allah Ta'ala, which is ash-shakur. We also become appreciative. We do qadr, just like Allah is doing our qadr. Qadr of the small amal that we are doing. We should also do qadr of Allah Ta'ala in our life. Allah says in Quran that not many people do Allah's qadr. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. That they haven't done qadr, they haven't appreciated and valued Allah like is the haq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we haven't done qadr of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We haven't done qadr of the mahabub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We haven't done qadr of the deen, right? So many things we don't do qadr, we are neglectful. So the neglect is not the problem. The real solution is that we have to now make an intention. And if only we can take this first step, just only the intention that Allah, I want to shed my neglect, I want to shed my ghafla, I want to shed this uncaring attitude that I have, and Ya Allah, I make intention today to become one of those people who will do your qadr. I want to become appreciative of all the blessings. I'm going to do shukr, to be grateful, to acknowledge all the things that you have done for me, that you continue to give to me. And what will be the barakah? When a person appreciates the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, they are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again blesses them. Allah Ta'ala gives them three gifts of being appreciative towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase the blessings upon you. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَعَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That whoever shows gratitude to Allah, whoever is grateful for my blessings, لَعَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, surely, certainly, undoubtedly, I'm going to increase my blessings upon him or upon her. So subhanAllah, this is a very beautiful principle that we have. That we just have to increase in our shukr. And when we increase in our shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase the blessings upon us. So remember this order, this tarteeb, that the blessing for which you thank Allah, it not only stays with you. One thing is that you want all those blessings to stay with you. So not only does that blessing stay with you, but it will keep increasing for you. لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And on the other hand, that blessing for which one does not thank Allah Ta'ala, then that is taken back from him. Allah Ta'ala knows how to give. Allah Ta'ala also knows how to take them away. So we should make dua to Allah. The Prophet has taught us this dua. That after every salah we should make, Allahumma aini ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Grant me the tawfiq to be able to make your dhikr and to be able to make your shukr. Every salah. Even the Anbiya alayhi salam, they used to make dua for shukr. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya. That Allah grant me the tawfiq to be able to do shukr of the ni'mat that you have given to me. That Allah, that uncountable blessings that you have given, please allow me the tawfiq to thank you for them. So the first benefit is that Allah will increase those blessings. Second is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also draw that person close to him. This person will attain the qurb of Allah, the muhabbat of Allah. Because shukr is a continuous ibadah. Not many people realize this. We often forget this fact about shukr. To be in a state of shukr, to be in a state of gratitude, is to be in a state of perpetual ibadah. Just like when you're fasting, you're in a state of perpetual ibadah from Fajr to Maghrib. If you are in a state of shukr, you are in a perpetual ibadah. And when you are doing ibadah, then ibadah will bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will attain the qurb of Allah. And this is such a, it doesn't require any hard work, any effort. Shukr is just the state of your heart that you're showing gratitude to Allah ta'ala. Gratitude for all these things that you're enjoying every single day, every single moment. It only befits and behooves us that we should be thanking Allah ta'ala. But when you do this, Allah ta'ala gives you the sawab of ibadah. And because of ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases you, draws you closer to himself. Subhanallah. Such a kareem and a raheem Lord. Huh? This is Allah ta'ala being ash-shakur. And then the third thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves that person from punishment, from azab. So any person who does shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will also save that person from punishment. So we should be appreciative, show our appreciation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we show our appreciation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one other aspect is that we also, when we try to adorn ourselves with this sifat of shukr, of being, of ash-shakur, this akhlaq of Allah ta'ala means that we have to be appreciative towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be appreciative towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to be appreciative towards other people in our life. Every person. That's another thing about the deen, that the sharia trains us to be thankful, to be appreciative to people around you. Why? Because if you don't thank them, then you haven't literally thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by thanking them, you can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be thankful to our parents. One who is not thankful to human beings is not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important that we have this khuluq and we have this habit of thanking other people. Again, in our current times, we have greatly reduced this act also of saying thanks to other people around us. So being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being thankful to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being appreciative of people around us. This is the summary of this name. And again, we end that there were two things that are relevant, two things that are important for us to take as a lesson. Number one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so appreciative. Ash-shakur means that Allah ta'ala is extremely, intensely, immensely appreciative of all our efforts that we do for his sake. And the second is that we should respond by becoming appreciative towards him. We should respond by valuing Allah ta'ala, by treasuring Allah, by esteeming him, by doing qadr of him, by shedding our neglect and our laziness. And we can do all of that in this month. This is the month where we can draw close to Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given us another opportunity in this month. The Prophet ﷺ used to increase in his ibadat. We can respond. And the way we show appreciation to Allah is by increasing in our ibadat, in our ita'at, to become a person of worship, to become a person of Tilawat-e-Quran, really we have to understand that this is our real identity, that we have a taluk with Allah, and our taluk with Allah, our relationship with Allah, this is the most important relationship that we have in our life. We cannot be strangers to Allah. So don't be a stranger to Allah. And we have to use this month as a way to connect back to Allah using these names. We realize that Allah is so appreciative, so qadardan, we should reciprocate. It's all about reciprocating now. Allah Ta'ala, we know Allah Ta'ala is Rahman, Allah is Rahim. Allah Ta'ala has already initiated that process. Allah's Rahmah, Allah's Rizq, Allah's Karam, all of that is coming upon us. His Barakat is coming upon us. We just need to play back. We just need to go with the plan of Allah Ta'ala. We just need to do Qadr of all these things that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is giving us. Right? So this is the real identity that we have. Our taluk with Allah as the servants of Allah. This is the asal of our life. If you're a student in university, the asal is not your lab. If you're working in your office, the asal is not your office. It's not your classroom. It's not your, you know, lab, your court. It's not your research. It's not your teaching. No. The asal of a mu'min has to be his deen. Has to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the month to return to our deen, to return to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala enable all of us to increase in our ibadat, to increase in our dua, to increase in our amal salih, any and all kinds. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to increase in them, to increase them in their quantity, to increase them in their quality, to increase our efforts in them, in doing them, in being regular in them, and being aware throughout them, feeling Allah Ta'ala in our ibadah, and remembering Allah Ta'ala during our ibadah. May Allah Ta'ala accept our intention. And may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to do amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العظيم وحمد الله وصلى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين اللهم إني أسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.